Okay, boys and everyone else. When I was growing up, I loved to ride my bicycle. Summer times would have been on the bicycle every day. But sometimes I came off the bicycle at times when I didn't mean to come off it. I can remember maybe the worst time I had an accident on the bicycle. I was coming home to our house, and I was coming quite fast. And where we lived, there was a big stretch of grass beside the road, and goats were tied there. And when I was coming past, one goat, which was tied, decided to run across the road in front of me, and the rope came after him, and my bicycle stopped, but I didn't, and I landed on my face on down the road. And I was only wearing my shorts and t-shirts, so I was cutting my face, my stomach was all cut, my legs were all cut, and it wasn't nice at all. And I can tell you, every time after that I went past those goats, I was careful. I slowed down, make sure there was no rope or goat crossing the road in front of me, because I didn't want to go through that again. Hurt, and we don't like to be hurt. We don't like to suffer. And if we can avoid pain, if we can avoid suffering, then we will do that. We don't go out of our way to get hurt. We don't do that. We don't want suffering. And yet we're going to think today about Jesus, who chose to suffer. We wouldn't choose to suffer, but Jesus chose to suffer. And see our next picture here. Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane. It was the night before he would die. And he wanted to talk to God about what was going to happen to him. He was going to think about what was going to happen to him. And as Jesus thought about that, he was in so much agony just thinking about it. The Bible tells us he sweat drops of blood. And he prayed to God, take this cup from me. The cup was the suffering he was going to go through. He described it like taking a really awful cup of like poison. He says, take this cup from me. But then he says, yet not what I want, God, but what you want. And Jesus chose to go through the suffering of the next hours for a very special reason. And listen, boys, we're going to think here about what was in the cup of suffering. We're going to think about that for a moment or two. Next picture shows us the first thing that made it hard for Jesus. He was betrayed by a friend. For several years, he had run around with Judas. He cared for Judas. He loved Judas. He taught Judas the truth from God. He even made Judas the treasurer in charge of the disciples' money. He was a close friend to Judas. And yet Judas was going to come and lead the soldiers to Jesus and even kiss Jesus on the cheek, which is a sign normally of love. But he's going to kiss him on the cheek as a sign that Jesus is the one to be arrested. Now, if you had a really good friend in school who you always played with in good times and they suddenly became really nasty to you, would you like that? What about if you had a friend who's decided to hand you over to be killed? Oh, boys. And this is what Judas did. And this is part of Jesus' suffering. The next picture we see is that Jesus was deserted by his friends. In Gethsemane, he asked three of his closest friends, Peter, James, and John, to pray with him because of what he was going through. And they kept falling asleep. And then the time came when the soldiers came to arrest him. They all ran away. And Peter, shortly after this, denied that he even knew Jesus. His friends abandoned him. And I'm sure this hurt Jesus so much. He loved these people. He cared for them. And yet they run away. Then the next one, part of the cup, he was unfairly condemned. When you're at school, maybe something bad happens in your class. Maybe somebody throws something across the classroom and the teacher sees it out of the corner of her eye and the teacher says, you did it. And you know you didn't do it. But the teacher says, no way, you did it. And the teacher gives you a punishment, maybe lines to write or some extra homework because you think you did. Would you be happy? No. And yet Jesus had never done anything wrong. And when he was arrested, they brought all these men in to tell lies about him. And he was going to be put to death. And he was innocent and perfect. This was part of the suffering he would endure. The next thing we see, he was then deserted by the crowd. you remember the Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a donkey and the people were filled with praise for Jesus and they shouted, Hosanna, Hosanna, which is a great term of praise for him. But by the end of the week on the Friday morning, they were shouting something different. Crucify him, crucify him, put him to death. All the crowds turned against him. And Jesus loved all these people. The Bible tells us he even wept over these people as he thought of what they were going through and what they would suffer. And now they turn against Jesus who loved them so much. Boys, let us be careful that we don't turn against Jesus. Things are going to get worse. The next picture, he was degraded by the Romans. He was treated in a really bad way. They blindfolded him, and then they hit him and said, who hit you? And then they put a crown of thorns on his head, or big sharp thorns, and a robe on his back, and made fun of him and said, you are the king. And then they beat him with sticks, and the Bible tells us his face was so badly beaten you couldn't have recognized him. And then he was whipped with a big whip on the back. Suffered so much, and he didn't deserve this. And then the next part was, next picture, he was mocked by the Jews. Pilate, the Roman governor, says, I will release a prisoner. Do you want me to release Jesus to you? The Jews says, no, we want Barabbas, who was a murderer and an evil man. They made fun of Jesus, and we want him to die. And even when Jesus was put on the cross, they were shouting, it was like them shaking their fists at Jesus, saying, come down from the cross and save yourself. They made fun of him. Did you think the cup that Jesus had to drink all he was going, was it nice? No, it was terrible. Let's see their next picture. Then he was nailed to the cross. Big nails would be put through his ankles. Big nails would be put through his wrists as well. And he would be hung on this cross. Great, great pain. But you know something, boys? All of this wasn't the worst thing that Jesus suffered. The next thing was the worst thing he suffered of all. He was punished for sin. On the cross, this whole sky went black in the middle of the day. You couldn't have seen anything. In the middle of the day, it was like the middle of the night. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Or why have you turned away from me? And see, boys, at that moment, Jesus in his soul was enduring more pain than even the pain of the nails in his wrists and ankles. He was enduring God's punishment for the sin of his people. Let's see in our next picture, and let's just think of what Jesus suffered. He was betrayed by his friend Judas. He was deserted by his friends, the disciples, to run away. He was unfairly condemned, told lies against them. He was deserted by the crowd who wanted him crucified. He was degraded and suffered from the hands of the Romans. He was mocked, made fun of by the Jews. He was nailed to the cross. And then he was punished for the sin of his people. But here's a question. Don't want you to answer this, boys. But think about this. Why did Jesus go through this? And what was Jesus thinking as he went through all this suffering? Don't want you to answer. Let's look at the next picture. This is what it says in the book of Hebrews, speaking of Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame. Boys, Jesus went through all this suffering with joy. How can that be? How can Jesus have wonderful joy as he suffered in such a terrible way from his friends and from the Romans and from the Jews and even from God his Father? This is why he had joy as he went to the cross. Because he knew that by going to the cross, he was going to rescue his people from their sin. A man called Isaiah says how Jesus would see his offspring, that's his children, children through faith, and he would be satisfied. He would have joy, even going through all of this, in order to rescue people. A wee question to finish with, boys. See our last slide there. Did Jesus suffer for you. Sometimes you hear people say, Jesus died for everyone. That's not actually true. Jesus died for his sheep, the Bible says. He died for those who God would bring to trust in Jesus. He died for those who would be rescued from their sin. You see, boys, if Jesus has died on the cross and you never come to trust in Jesus to be your Savior, to take away your sin, then Jesus dying on the cross is of no use for you. It doesn't matter for you. But Jesus has died on the cross, and Jesus says, whoever comes to me, I will never cast away. So, boys, has Jesus died for you? You can only answer yes when you have come to trust in him as your Savior, as your Lord. Boys, you see where I'm standing here. When I'm normally standing here, there's normally a very nervous man sitting here called a groom. He's waiting to get married, and I stand here, and then the time comes, and he's hoping a bride will come up this aisle and they'll get married. And if he was standing here and no bride came, I don't think he'd be very happy. And I'm sure there's many a groom sat here and he's began to look at his watch and think, where is she? A huckle women seem to be quite late at times and that. But he's waiting for the bride. Listen, it's like this, boys. Jesus is like a groom. Jesus wants to share a wonderful life with you. And he wants you to come and trust in him to become his friend, to be saved from your sin, and to follow him as your King and Lord. And it's as if Jesus is standing here today waiting for you to come up and to join him. And you come and you join him by coming and saying to Jesus that you know you've sinned, that you believe your only hope is that he's died on the cross, and you want him to be your Lord, to take over your life. Boys, about 30 years ago, when I was 12, the age of some of the boys here, I heard Jesus calling me. I didn't hear a voice. I heard a man talking about Jesus and coming to trust in him. And that day, I went home, I got down beside my bed, and I told Jesus I was sorry for my sin, that I believed he died on the cross, and I wanted him to be my Savior, my Lord, to take over my life. And that's the day, boys, I became a Christian, when I was 12. And I wonder, boys, have you become a Christian? Have you come to trust in Jesus? And have you turned from your sin to follow him as your Lord? Let's pray together. Father, we do not know what Jesus endured fully. There's a great secret about the cross and what he endured on his soul. But Father, we praise you, he endured all that amazingly with joy so that people would be rescued from their sin. And Father, I pray for the youngest boy and the anchor boys to the oldest granny or granda here today, that we would all today hear the call of Jesus and come and confess our sin and trust in him as our Savior and as the Lord of our lives. Father, for such grace we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.